Thank you, Max, for leading us in song. Thank you, David, for your prayer. And thank each and every one of you for your presence here this evening. Before we get started with our lesson, I would like just to take a moment to express to each and every one my great appreciation for the invite to be here this week. I can't thank the congregation enough for the invitation to have an opportunity to stand before you to proclaim a message from God's Word each and every night this week, and we're definitely looking forward to that, and we thank you so much for the invitation. Before we do get started with our lesson this evening, I would like to encourage everyone to take out your Bibles and prepare to follow along with our lesson this evening titled, What Does God Require of You? And if you would go ahead and turn your Bibles there to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, we will begin there in just a moment. And while you're turning there to Deuteronomy chapter 10, we learn there in verse 12 where Moses asked God's people of old a question. And that question that Moses asked God's people of old was, what does God require of you? You see, God had bestowed great favor upon Israel. However, Israel, they have failed to be totally receptive and appreciative of God's great favor that he has bestowed upon them. And they were often very rebellious. And Moses, he asked them a question. And he asked them, he says, what does God require of you? And then he goes on to answer that question there in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse 12. When he says, if you will turn there with me, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. You see, Moses answered that question for them. And in looking at that answer which Moses gave to those children of Israel, we see here a summation of the whole duty of man to God. And thinking about this question, it's good to be reminded of what man's duty to God is. So tonight we're going to take just a few moments to examine that question which Moses asked the children of Israel. And we're going to look at those things which he told them to do. And let's begin with where Moses says there, to fear the Lord your God. You see, that phrase, to fear God, it denotes a reverence toward God. And just as Moses exhorted the children of Israel to fear God, as we see here in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, Peter likewise exhorted Christians to fear God there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 when he says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Again, it's important to note that one is to have a deep reverence toward God. They're to have respect toward him. It's interesting to note that oftentimes when you think about the fear of God, you think about standing in awe of God. And we need to be a people who stand in awe of God. We need to have a deep reverence toward God, and we need to respect and honor him. Now, with that in mind, did you know that the scriptures teach that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments? Did you know that? You see, have you ever wondered what your purpose is here on this earth? Have you ever thought to yourself, why am I here? What is this all about? Well, you know what? The wise man gives us the answer to that question. There in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. When he says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. That's why. That's what it's all about. We are to fear God and keep his commandments. And my friends, it is very important that we do just that. And the Bible, being its own best commentary, tells us that the fear of the Lord, it is the beginning of knowledge, as the wise man says there in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. To be simply put, he's saying that the fear of the Lord, it's the foundation of knowledge. But not only that, he also goes on to say there in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Did you know that? That's important, isn't it? But here's something else the wise man tells us in the book of Proverbs. There in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, he also informs us of the fact that the fear of the Lord, it is hatred of evil. You see, when one has a fear of the Lord, a true, sincere reverence for God, they will have a hatred of evil. You see, evil, it completely contradicts everything that it is good. And it's important to understand that evil is contrary to God's will. And those who have a fear of the Lord, they will be a people who will hate evil. Therefore, my friends, let's be a people who fear God and depart from evil. And let's hold on to these words of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, where the wise man says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Are you doing that? You see, it's important that we are. And the psalmist, he tells us the importance of this there in Psalm 33 and verse 8. When he says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Hold on to those words. And let's be a people who fear the Lord. Let's be a people who stand of him. And let's be a people who always give God the respect, honor, and reverence which is due to him. But I also suggest to you, as we see moving on there in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, that Moses instructed the children of Israel not only to fear the Lord their God, but also to walk in all his ways. It's important to note that when the scriptures talk about walking in the ways of God, it's talking about one who receives God's truth, accepts his ways, and follows the path of conduct which he prescribed. And one who receives the truth and accepts God's ways and follows the path of conduct which he describes will be one who walks in the ways of God. And did you know that it's not in man to direct his own steps? You see, Jeremiah recognized this. And we see this there in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. And there the prophet says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Think about that. You see, although there is a way which seems right to a man, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, we must realize that God's ways, they're not like our ways. And we are reminded of this there in Isaiah 55. Come along with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Isaiah chapter 55. And there in Isaiah 55, beginning there in verse 8, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, to be simply put, our ways and thoughts, they can't even begin to compare to the ways and thoughts of God. Can't even begin to compare. And we need to recognize the fact that our ways and thoughts, they're not like God's ways and thoughts. For the fact of the matter is, God's ways are perfect, Psalm 18, verse 30. But not only are they perfect, they're right, as the prophet Hosea says there in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. And we also learn there in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 6 that God's ways are everlasting. You see, God's ways, they're perfect. They need no changing. We are not to tamper with God's way. And we must be a people who acknowledge His way. Therefore, be one who trusts in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And be ever mindful of the fact that blessed is the one who fears the Lord and walks in His ways, as the psalmist informs us of there in Psalm 128 and in verse 1. And it's important to note that when the psalmist says, blessed is everyone, not just some, who fear the Lord and who walk in His ways, but everyone. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in His ways. Hold on to that as we continue. We also go on to see there in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, where Moses instructed the children of Israel to also to love God. You see, man needs to have a fear of God. They need to walk in His ways, and they need to love Him. That is, they need to have an affection for God. And most of us are familiar with the context there in Matthew chapter 22. And there in Matthew chapter 22, a certain lawyer asked Jesus a question. And do you recall what that question was that that lawyer asked Jesus? He asked him, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Remember what Jesus responded with? He responded with, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Matthew 22, 37 and 38. You see, to be simply put, Jesus says that one needs to wholeheartedly love God. One needs to love God with every part of their being. They need to have affection for the Lord, thy God, with thy all. And we must be mindful of that. And although there are many who ask, well, why, Brad? Why is it so important that I love God? Well, you want to know why? John tells us why. There in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, when he says we love Him because He first loved us. That's why. That's why we need to have a love toward God. Because He first loved us. And Paul tells us there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, but God demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God, He demonstrated His love for us. And the fact that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, to die for us sinners. That's why we need to love God. And may we be ever mindful of the fact that God, He's merciful to those who love Him. The psalmist informs us of this there in Psalm 119. Follow me in your Bibles, if you will, there to Psalm 119. And there in Psalm 119, verse 132, the psalmist, in reference to the Lord, says, look upon me and be merciful to me as your custom is toward those who love your name. You see that? It's telling us that, you know, the Lord, He's merciful to those who love Him. Therefore, be one who sincerely, that is genuinely, loves the Lord your God. And hold on to these words of David from Psalm 31 and verse 23, where he gives this exhortation, O love the Lord, all you His saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Hold on to those words. And be one who loves the Lord. But we also go on to learn that not only must one love the Lord, not only must one walk in all his ways, not only must one fear him, but they must also serve him. And this denotes one's need to give service to their Creator, the Lord, thy God. You see, man, he's not to worship or serve any other than the one true living God. And Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan, if you recall, as we had recorded there in Matthew chapter 4, he reminded Satan himself of this fact, didn't he? If you recall in the context there in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, he was being tempted by Satan. And if you remember, Satan took Jesus up to a high mountain. And he had him look down over the kingdom of the earth. And he told him, he says, if you will fall down and worship me, I'll give this to you. And do you remember what Jesus' reply back to Satan was there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10? Well, Jesus says, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to take heed to those words of Jesus. We need to recognize the fact that we are to serve no other than the Lord thy God. And we need to serve the Lord thy God with a loyal heart and a willing mind. Go with me, if you will, there to 1 Chronicles 28. And there in 1 Chronicles 28, we have a father's admonition to a son. And we see here where David is speaking to his son Solomon. And there in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, David says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him. How, David? Well, notice, with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Now pay attention here. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. That's a great admonition. And parents, let's be a people who likewise share this admonition to our children. Let's encourage them to love the Lord thy God with a loyal heart and a willing not mind. Let's encourage them to serve the Lord. And let's let them know the fact that if they seek him, he will be found by them. You see, sadly, there are too many today who fail to genuinely serve the Lord. Sadly, there are many today who kind of just go through the motions. They just kind of do what they feel like they got to do to get by, so to speak. But we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to be genuine in our service to the Lord. And we need to serve him in sincerity and in truth. Joshua reminded God's people of old of this fact there in Joshua chapter 24 and in verse 14. And there he was reminding God's people of old who were worshiping false gods. He was reminding them of the fact that they need to serve God and in sincerity and in truth. That word sincerity, it denotes without hypocrisy. And we need to be a people who recognize the need to serve the Lord without hypocrisy. And to serve him in spirit and in truth as Jesus instructs there in John chapter 4 and in verse 24. And we need to be a people who likewise serve God with fear. Again, that fear denotes reverence. We need to have a respect. We need to respectfully serve the Lord our God. There in Psalm 2 and verse 11, we read, serve the Lord your God with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now some may be thinking, well, what's that mean? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. What's he talking about? Well, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about having a deep reverence in serving the Lord. And the Hebrew writer reminds us of the fact that we also need to be one who serves God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Are you doing that? Are you? You see, it's important that we recognize the importance to serve the Lord. And we need to recognize the fact that we need to be a people who serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100 and in verse 2. You see, let's not be a people who serve the Lord with, well, I guess I'll go to worship services this morning. I really don't want to, but I guess I'll go ahead and go. Let's not be like that. But rather, let's be a people who serve the Lord with gladness. Let's serve the Lord with enthusiasm. Let's be a people who happily serve the Lord. Let's look forward to the opportunity that we have to come together to serve the Lord. And let's be a people who always serves the Lord with gladness and with joy in our heart. But last but certainly not least there, we see there in the text there in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13, where Moses instructed the children of Israel to likewise keep God's commandments. And he also goes on in that verse to tell them exactly why it was important that they were a people who fear God, who walk in all his ways, who love him, who serve him, and who keep his commandments. When he says, for your own good. You see, we must recognize the fact that we need to obey God. It's in our best interest. It's for our own good to be a people who obey God. And going back to what we talked about earlier there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, talking about the whole duty of man, we also learned that part of that is not only to fear God, but it's also to keep his commandments. It's part of man's all. And we need to recognize that fact. And we need to be mindful of the fact that contrary to the belief of some, the commandments of God, they're not burdensome. They're not burdensome, or as some translations read, they're not grievous. And we need to be mindful of that. John informs us of that there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 when he says, for this is the love of God. What is that? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You see, ladies and gentlemen, to be simply put, God, he doesn't ask the impossible out of any of us. He doesn't ask us to do something that is not within the ability of each and every one of us to be able to do. God's commandments, they're not burdensome. And we need to recognize the fact that in order to be one who will have that hope of eternal life, we must keep God's commandments. You see, Jesus gives us this lesson there in Matthew the 7th chapter. Follow me there, if you will, there to Matthew chapter 7. And there in Matthew chapter 7, beginning there in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now notice the next verse. Notice what Jesus says to that. There in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, Jesus says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Does that get your attention? Do you see the need to be obedient to the Lord there? You do, don't you? You see, Jesus made it very clear that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Key words, he who does, not he who says. You see, there are many who profess to be doing the Lord's will, but their actions don't speak louder than their words. And we need to be mindful of the fact that we must be a people who do the will of our Father in heaven. For the fact of the matter is, failure to do that will be a miss on our part. And in doing so, we will not be one who inherits heaven if we fail to keep the commandments of God. Therefore, let's be a people who always strive to keep the commandments of the Lord. And may we ever be mindful of the fact that blessed are those who keep God's commandments. You see, there in Luke chapter 11 and in verse 27, we learn about a certain woman who spoke out and in reference to Jesus and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But what I want us to pay attention to is the very next verse. Notice what Jesus said there in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, in response to that comment of that lady. He says, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To be simply put, Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You see, we need to again be reminded of the fact that God, he doesn't ask the impossible or require the impossible out of us. And we must be mindful of the fact that obedience to God, it's necessary in order to attain eternal salvation. Folks, this sums up what our required duty to God is. So I now ask the question, are you doing what God requires of you? Are you? If not, why not? For, as we have said, God doesn't require anything extraordinary, anything impossible, anything complicated, but rather God requires the things that are simple and within the reach of being done by each and every one of us. The choice is ours. It's up to you. And if there would happen to be one here this evening who has not been doing what God requires of them, you are encouraged to begin to do what God requires of you this very hour. For as we're about to sing, there's a great day coming. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to be prepared for that great day. And if you have not yet submitted yourself to the Lord and his will, as of right now, you're not prepared for that great day. But you have an opportunity to become prepared this very hour. For you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, and you're ready to make a change in your life, you're ready to repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can put Christ on through baptism this very hour. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. And you can walk out these doors tonight a child of God. And may we always recognize that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this evening who has already submitted their life to the Lord and his will, but you've not been faithful. You have sin in your life. You've strayed from that straight, narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent. Confess that to God and ask him for his forgiveness. Get back on that straight, narrow path that leads to life this very hour. Make your life right with God before you leave this place tonight. And if there would be one here this evening who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Max Selector.